is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Thank you, friends, for tuning in to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast. This is Pastor Larry. Samuel Rodriguez is president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and also an Assemblies of God pastor in Sacramento, California. Marvin Olasky of World Magazine had a very interesting interview with Pastor Rodriguez in December of 2020. Pastor Rodriguez pastors a church that is about 40% white, 40% African American, and 20% Latino and Asian. The protest after the George Floyd incident that morphed into riots caused the church to confront the issue of injustice. But Pastor Rodriguez says he refused to bow down to a movement that was out of alignment with the Word of God. He refers to Psalm 89 with its melding of righteousness, justice, love, and faithfulness to God. Pastor Rodriguez said, quote, "We saw burning, riots, vandalism, physical assaults on innocent individuals eating at restaurants or shops, completely out of alignment with the Word of God." The pastoral perspective that Pastor Rodriguez maintains focuses on faith, politics, Hispanic values, and moving beyond the survival mode in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Rodriguez said that most of the Hispanics in California do not want affirmative action because it elevates one race over the other. You know, friends, I believe we need to thank God for the many faithful pastors in America who are pastoring multi-ethnic churches. There are some unique issues that they face: religious, political, and ethnic. What a great delight to be back at the mic and looking right across from where I am at S. Douglas Woodward. He is the author of actually several books. We've had him on several times before. He's a very prolific writer, and we are talking about a new book that he has, American Requiem, Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. And I know as I look at the title, I think, wow, this is pretty gloomy. But, you know, if you look at the Bible, actually, we are moving toward collapse. However, I believe that there is a place for the Lord's work. And even as Douglas said in the previous program, that perhaps the persecution, perhaps the suffering will revitalize the true remnant, and that we will be able to serve the Lord if we are going to count the cost, if we're really serious about our faith. Well, in this second segment that we're doing, we're going to be asking the question. I'm going to ask the question, and Douglas is going to answer the question. The question is America Babylon? So, Douglas, good to have you with us once again.
Thank you. Yes. Well, as those that in the audience that may have read a few of my books, you know that I've become sort of one of the leading spokespersons today that the United States does represent a key aspect of Babylon in the last days. And I wrote a book called The Final Babylon. I wrote two other books called Power Quest that deal with the transformation of our culture over the last 100 years, a lot of it influenced by the Nazism, the fascists that came into the government with the help of Alan Dulles and some others. So it's been a theme in my writing. In American Requiem, I certainly go in, a good chunk of the book is really addressing really demonstrating from the scripture that the United States is Babylon.
Right. So in other words, I know a lot of prophecy teachers say, well, I don't see the United States in the Bible. I don't know where it is, but you're saying it is in the Bible.
It certainly is. Okay. Yes. And one has to, you have to research the prophecies and look at who is this figure called the daughter of Babylon. What are some of the scriptures that reference that? And there are many. If you like, I could just share a few of those.
Yeah, I think listeners would like to, of course, many of our listeners like to listen to us with open Bible, or at least check us out, so I think that's a good thing.
Right, yes. Well, and so in Jeremiah 50 and 51, there are many attributes listed for Babylon and for the land of the Chaldeans. There is no Babylon in history that has fulfilled these attributes other than the United States. Ancient Babylon doesn't. Babylon that was sort of came together out of Alexander the Great and so forth. None of these really fulfilled the attributes that are identified in the scripture. So just to list a few, in Jeremiah 50:12, the Babylon here, the daughter of Babylon, is called the hindermost of nation, which means really the last in a series. So it's sort of this ultimate nation at the end of days. It's called the hammer of the whole earth. You know, that it's the means by which Yahweh has chastised and judged many nations for their actions. It's called the richest nation in the world in Jeremiah 50:12, verse 37, 51:13. It's known as a mingled people. Well, that's really an interesting attribute. While the word Arab actually means mixture, when we think of the United States, we think of a melting pot. It's called the melting pot. And, you know, certainly if you look today at Saudi Arabia, you look at Turkey, they really aren't mingled people. They really are essentially all of the same race. You look at the United States, how many races do we have in the United States? Dozens. Dozens. A nation that lives on many waters. We have two oceans on left and right, and we have another ocean underneath called the Gulf of Mexico. We have vast rivers. We have more fresh water in America than any other nation in the world. Maybe Russia might have equivalent amount because they have such vast land. The nations flow unto this nation. Think of the UN in New York City. Right. All the nations come there. That's Jeremiah 51:44. It was once a golden cup in the Lord's hands. That's Jeremiah 51:7. The question we have to ask is, who has ever been a cup in the Lord's hands? Was the Ottoman Empire? I don't think so. Was Saudi Arabia? I don't think so. And so if we look at who has been a golden cup in the Lord's hands, there are only two nations that qualify, Israel and the United States. And I happen to believe in the context that this is speaking of the United States. The people of God are to flee Babylon. This is Jeremiah 50, verse 8, verse 28, and 51, verse 6. The people of God in Turkey, in Saudi Arabia, they aren't going to flee Babylon, because they are essentially their own nation, right? Whereas if you look at where are the people of God? Well, the people of God really are two types, the Jews and the Christians. And we're being told to flee Babylon, whether that's literal or symbolic, it's still a commandment of the scripture. And ultimately, it says that this nation will betray God's people. Jeremiah 51, verse 49. And that, of course, really is our undoing when we cease to continue to support Israel, which with the current administration, that is very possibly going to happen.
Right.
So we've been warned. You know, Jonathan Kahn wrote the book, The Harbinger. We've been told that the United States is in the process of falling down. We think of Isaiah 9, 10 through 11. The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin, which was a small province of Assyria, against him and join his enemies together. And so most of the listeners are very familiar with Jonathan Kahn.
Yes, we are.
and his statement. And so the focus of that book is on what nation? The United States. And so it lays out a very, very strong case for why we are, in fact, a nation that can and is, I believe, rightly called one of the final Babylons. And so I should point out there are a number of folks that have gone on before us, great saints that are no longer with us, but also argued that the USA is Babylon. John Price, who wrote a foreword for one of my books, Patrick Heron, a fellow named J.R. Church, a fellow named R.A. Coombs, another wonderful man who I had the privilege of knowing, Stanley Monteith, and this fellow named Noah Hutchings, along with Frank Logsdon. All of these individuals pose the question, is America the Babylon of the Bible? In the book, I go into, and I'll sort of cap this off with this explanation. In the book, I go into the fact that there are three Babylons of the last days. There is the daughter of Babylon, there is mystery Babylon, and there is Babylon the Great. And we know they're distinct for a couple of three reasons. One is that they are destroyed at different times in the last days, in this final 7 to 10 year period, the tribulation, the great tribulation. They each are destroyed, but they're destroyed at different times. So they must be different. They're destroyed by different parties. The daughter of Babylon is destroyed by the great nations of the north. Mystery Babylon is destroyed by the Antichrist. The great Babylon, or Babylon the Great, is destroyed by Jesus Christ when he returns. So we know that they're distinct when they are destroyed, how they are destroyed, and by whom are they destroyed. And so there are three Babylons, and the United States is actually the first to go, the daughter of Babylon. And so I go into considerable detail to explain why that is the case. And I think in our last program, we'll have a chance to talk more about some of the specific issues that caused me to believe that the United States will be destroyed by nations from the Northern Hemisphere that will attack us over the pole. Not Canada, but nations from the North. We would send nations or send missiles over the pole at us, whether that's North Korea, China, or more likely Russia.
Right. Doesn't Jeremiah 50 or 51 mention missiles or arrows that never miss their mark?
Correct.
And I'm thinking guided missiles have fantastic.
That's
in
right.
In fact, I know my daughter was in the Air Force, and, you know, we have ICBMs that could, from here to 17,000 miles away, hit a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty good shooting with
it is
a nuclear
shooting,
warhead.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And that, of course, is what I believe will happen to a good section of the United States, that we will be attacked at some point, perhaps not too far into the distant future. Will it completely destroy the United States? Not sure. There's some suggestions in the chapters of Jeremiah we've mentioned that it will be destroyed utterly and will not be inhabitable during the millennium.
Right. Wow. That means radioactive with a half
fallout
life of,
and
yeah, with a half life of 1,700 years. That's pretty
serious.
Right. You know, I remember, was it a year or two ago, when Kim Jong-un, we like to call him Rocket Man, was rattling his rockets. There was a false alarm in Hawaii, and I remember the foreword of your book is by Colonel David Jamona, U.S. Army retired, and in a program, two programs I did with him, he mentioned that his daughter was in Hawaii at that time, and she called him. She said, "We have 20 minutes before a nuke from North Korea strikes Honolulu." And it was a false alarm,
right.
But we just, you know, people were panic-stricken. People were weeping on the streets. And can our listeners imagine what happens when the first one strikes the ground? I mean, it will be unbelievably terrifying. You know, the first one strikes the ground, there's probably 8 or 10 more, maybe 50 or 60 more. I mean, this is an apocalyptic scenario that we're talking about.
And it appears that that will take place. We know it won't happen in the millennium. It seems to have to happen before. And the scripture talks about the daughter of Babylon being like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
And being utterly destroyed. So that's why those of us that believe in the rapture are encouraged by the prospect that before the wrath of God utterly destroys America, as well as other nations, mm-hmm. that we may be raptured ahead of time.
Now, I wonder, if you're a pre-tribber, will be ejected out of here. Some of the mid-tribbers and post-tribbers that I've spoken to, and I like to speak to everybody. I mean,
sure.
we don't have the last word.
I do too.
I mean, we can learn something. What do they say in a nuclear strike if the church is here? How will we be protected? Or do they believe we'll have divine protection on the ground?
Well, again, I think most of their answer to that question has to do with their overall eschatology. Many of them will not, you know, buy into the concept that America is the daughter of Babylon.
Right.
Right. Now, there's, as I've mentioned, there's a lot of good scholars that do. Many of them very close to this ministry, and so we have strong reasons to believe that that will occur. Those that believe that the United States is not the final Babylon, not the daughter of Babylon, but they tend to, you know, like our good friend Joel Richardson, tend to see the Antichrist as the same as Gog and Magog. Tend to see that this battle is the last battle, and it's the battle that Christ returns in. And it sort of does a mopping up operation throughout the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And so it's very localized, very regional. And so I don't know, I haven't talked to Joel specifically about, does he believe America is going to come under judgment prior to what occurs in the Middle East, prior to the Lord returning. But they certainly don't have, he doesn't have the same overall eschatology, which, right. by the way, the eschatology that I'm talking about is primarily the conventional eschatology of Schofield, of Hal Lindsey, of Tim LaHaye. Yeah. And in fact, the argument that I put forth is that these activities, these actions, these horrendous judgments are likely to happen just prior to the final 7 years of tribulation, which is an interesting point to make, but it turns out that there are a lot of scholars that agree with me, a Grant Jeffrey, a Chuck Missler. I could go through, there's about, Randall Price. I could go on and on. So in the book, of course, I lay these things out. So anyway, let me wrap up with that and throw it back to you.
Well, this is really exciting. And friends, whatever particular view you hold or I hold, the Bible is very clear. This is the day of salvation. You have to make that choice. I know there are so many people out there, and I speak to a lot of them. I think the real problem, and Doug, you can probably back me up on this, is some people are too proud to admit that they are sinful and that they need a Savior. But hey, that's true. Just look at the world. We're talking about war. We're talking about protest. We're talking about violence. Where does that come from? It comes from the human heart, and we all need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Friend, if you're not a Christian, I beg of you to think about Jesus, to think about eternal life, to think about salvation, and think of what if you reject Jesus and you're left here, what will that mean? That will be horrible. Well, thank you so much, Douglas. We're going to have you back for another program, and I'm going to ask Matthew to come to the mic. Matthew, tell our listeners how they can get American Requiem.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book titled American Requiem, Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. You can have a copy of this hair-raising book for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States, and $50 if you live in Canada. To place your order, simply call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by mail when you write to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this book and any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have the great companion book by Ron Rhodes titled New Babylon Rising. You can have a copy of it for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, American Requiem and New Babylon Rising, for a gift of $40. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Both men and women are God's creations. God made male and female, only two genders. The Bible says male and female created he them. That's from Genesis 1:27. Just a few verses later, in verse 31, we read, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. This is the highest level of approval possible. God said it was very good. Included in that is the binary grouping, male and female.
The most obvious differences between men and women are differences relating to procreation. However, the differences are far deeper. They're God-given instincts. They're ways of looking at life, the ways of thinking, and the roles that God has assigned to men and to women.
The differences between men and women must not be ignored. They are deliberate and by divine design. Neither men nor women are inferior or superior. They are not in competition, but are complementary.
At the present, there seems to be a drive to find a better way than God's way. In California, the legislature passed the Gender Recognition Act, allowing for a third, non-binary gender category on driver's licenses and other state-issued documents. California State Democrat Senator Hannah Beth Jackson said, quote, "We are now a state recognizing the non-binary designation as a gender," close quotes. This means the two-gender order, male and female, is now being rejected. Allegedly, there are more than two genders, and we must not offend non-binary persons. Once again, our culture believes that natural law, the order of creation, and divine design may be improved.
In a March 2021 Charisma Magazine article, Dr. Tim Clinton relates that an international space exploration research team conducted a study on the possible colonization of Mars. When the findings were presented to NASA, the study suggested that, quote, all female astronaut crews could reproduce in space without the help of men, close quotes. The study concluded that frozen sperm samples exposed to simulations of weightlessness in space maintained the same characteristics as sperm on the ground with gravity. This raised hopes that a sperm bank could one day be set up in space to help populate new worlds, close quotes. It also meant that future missions to Mars could consist of female-only space crews.
The study was met with great fanfare, especially among feminist and anti-masculinity groups. In response to the female-only astronaut crews, one individual writes, "But who's going to kill the spiders on the ship?" Obviously, someone was trying to add some humor to the dialogue, though there's an element of the statement that rings true. Men are good at killing bugs, along with a lot of other important tasks. God created men, not just for reproduction. Men must therefore take their rightful place for the sake of marriage, family, and society as a whole.
According to ChristianHeadlines.com, an article February 8th, a leading archbishop is calling on Joe Biden to stop defining himself as a devout Catholic because of his endorsement of abortion, the Christian Post reports. In an interview with the Catholic Worker Report, Archbishop Joseph F. Naumann spoke out on Biden's pro-choice views, asserting that abortion is contrary to Catholic moral teaching. The president should stop defining himself as a devout Catholic and acknowledge that his view on abortion is contrary to Catholic moral teaching, he contended. Naumann, who is also the chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities, suggested that Biden should say that he disagrees with his church over their view on abortion and that he was acting contrary to church teaching. In response to Biden saying he's a devout Catholic, "We bishops have the responsibility to correct him," Naumann argued. Although people have given him power and authority, he cannot define what it is to be a Catholic and what Catholic moral teaching is, he continued. Naumann told CWR that Biden is usurping the role of the bishops and confusing people because he supports abortion while maintaining that he is a professing Catholic. He's declaring that he's Catholic and is going to force people to support abortion through their tax dollars, Naumann noted. The bishops need to correct him as he is acting contrary to the faith. When asked about his thoughts about a Florida priest who denied Biden communion in 2019, Naumann stressed that Biden, quote, has the responsibility not to present himself for Holy Communion. When Catholics receive the Eucharist, they are acknowledging belief in the teachings of the Church, the Archbishop explained. Biden doesn't believe in the Church's teaching on the sanctity of human life, and he should not put the priest in the situation where he has to decide whether or not to allow him to receive the Eucharist, Naumann asserted. He should know that after 78 years as a Catholic. Naumann, 71, is the fourth and current Archbishop of Kansas City, Kansas, a position he has held since 2005. The Lord spoke the ultimate word to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. It said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. We are known to God from the very moment of conception as a living soul. Other than the original caption attributing the following to a Marine Corps colonel in Afghanistan, I have no idea who wrote this. Whoever it was, he has stated the case better than most could. I'm quoting, "With all the kindness I can muster, I give this one piece of advice to the next pop star who is asked to sing the national anthem at a sporting event. Save the vocal gymnastics and the physical gyrations for your concerts. Just sing this song the way you were taught to sing it in kindergarten. Straight up, no styling. Sing it with the constant awareness that there are soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines watching you from bases and outposts all over the world. Don't make them cringe with your self-centered ego gratification. Sing it as if you were standing before a row of 86-year-old World War II vets wearing their Purple Hearts, Silver Stars, and flag pins on their cardigans, and you want them to be proud of you for honoring them and the country they love, not because you want them to think you're a superstar musician. They could see that from your costume, makeup, and your entourage. Sing the Star-Spangled Banner with the courtesy and humility that tells the audience that it's about America, not you. Semper Fi. No more need be said."
Has the deteriorating morality of our nation sealed our fate? Will we decay from within or be destroyed from without? For the answer to these questions, we suggest you call and get our special offer today. The number is 1-800-652-1144. You can also order our materials by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And all of our materials are available on our website at swrc.com. When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items, paying radio stations, wages, utility bills, computers, and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, "I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching." Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in Monday when we bring you another edition of Southwest Radio Church.